come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I'm Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts or previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find all of the links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And, of course, you can check out the Mighty House team page for great companies like Mr. Floor. And hopefully Grand Appliance will be on there soon. And you can go there, find out people to help you out around the house. And it's a great resource there for you. So Mighty House team page at MightyHouse.net. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you will have a chance to win some great Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Okay, we've got a couple phone calls to get to. Before we do that, in the first hour, we took one of the CO experts, ultra-low level carbon monoxide detectors, stuck it in one of these bags, and then we at Facebook Live, you can go on Facebook and watch this, stuck it in there. We had a can of carbon monoxide. We sprayed it into the Ziploc bag, and just a couple quick shots, and this ultra-low level detector started going off. I started out with the same couple of quick shots into a store-bought carbon monoxide detector, and it's still in this bag. It's been, what, about an hour and a half? You can still see it's got, it's still puffy. It's in there, and I ended up putting the entire can in here, and it still is not going off.
No.
It's not.
And it won't.
It's not beeping or anything. So.
It needs another 2.5 hours.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Because the ultra low level was going off at 10 parts, and at its max with two quick shots was at, what, it got up to
47
parts per million. I put the entire can in this other bag with the store-bought carbon monoxide detector, so hopefully it's over 70, but it needs to be over 70 for 4 hours before it starts to beep. You could be gone and, you know, laying on the ground, and this thing's not going to be going off yet. So anyway, we're going to be we'll go back on Facebook Live here in a minute and show everybody what's going on and report back on Facebook Live and show you how it's still not beeping and that the other one is, and we're good there. And stay tuned.
And?
Write this number down. You ready? Go get a pencil, paper, write this number down. 847-475-1590, 847-475-1590. We're going to be giving away one of these ultra-low-level carbon monoxide detectors. Mm-hmm. And are you still have that website up, Rich?
I sure do.
Do you know approximately
what? COExperts.com?
Yes. And how much is this?
I don't know. I didn't look that.
Let's find the price on that. The store-bought ones are $30-$40, something like that. So it's an average one. That's just a normal price. They're about that. I think these are like right around 100 and something. But is your like?
Yeah, I think so. But the page where it said products doesn't have pricing.
Okay, I think they're a little over $100. So. This we're giving away one of these in a little while here, and we'll be giving it away. Just got to keep stay tuned. So it's $100 worth of product we're going to send you to protect you and your family. So again, 847-475-1590. Write that number down. We'll be giving it away a little bit later. Right now, though, let's go to the phones and let's bring up. I think it's Richie. Hey, Richie, you there?
Yes.
Hey, Richie, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
Hey, listen, We're starting tomorrow on this station with Chicago History and Automotive Heaven at noon.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I was.
Thank you for you know, turning me on to the station and putting, you put in a real nice word for me. So we go back a long time. You're a great guy. I've had you on my TV show. And,
yep.
You know, we've done things together. You know, so I met with Chuck this week and signed everything, paid the money, got my promos in. Everything's done. So it starts cool. tomorrow at noon. So,
tomorrow awesome. At noon, automotive history, and you're going to talk tech and latest trends. What's it all going to be about?
When I was on radio before, I was on for a number of years, you know, I kind of was all over the board. It's Chicago History and Automotive Heaven. My real passion for life is automotive. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
I've got 7 car museum television shows on my site. But every time I ran into a real cool automotive story, something was uncovered about Chicago. Chicago was the Industrial Revolution at the turn of the century. I mean, we invented more stuff and manufactured more stuff. So how can you not tell the wonderful stories about Chicago also?
Oh, yeah. That's excellent.
Had the first race.
Yeah,
the first race. There you go. 1890.
95, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was down from where the Art Institute is. It's on Michigan and Adams, all the way to Evanston, Illinois, where you guys are broadcasting from.
Correct.
And back. The Duryea brothers were the ones that won the race. The average speed for that race was 5.7 miles per hour. And back then, they won $5,000. That was the first automobile race
wow.
ever. If you go down there at Michigan and Adams, we used to hit, you know, from Chicago to L.A., Route 66 mm-hmm. in the 30s mm-hmm. started, okay? And it started right there on Michigan Avenue in Adams. They moved the sign off of Michigan Avenue. They thought it was tacky, but it's still there. It's on Adams right west of Michigan Avenue.
Very cool.
Wow.
And didn't they didn't they also have races in Soldier Field?
Soldier Field, the old amphitheater. I'm working on that one.
I know they used to call it races too. Yeah.
You know, one of the guys that really kicked it was a dear friend of mine. I he passed away. But remember Jan Gabriel?
Okay, yeah.
He was the guy that did Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
We're the great ones.
We're the big one, right, exactly.
I thought
Robbie.
It was That's we're cute. The great ones. We're the great ones. Ride, ride, ride,
ride. Right, right. But, you know, Jan Gabriel, I've done his history in the past. He was, like I say, a dear friend of mine. He was the one that actually did the first monster truck thing.
Excellent.
He was phenomenal. What he did... And, you know, he got sick, and he was, you know, he had kidney problems and that. And the last number of years of his life, I was going to have him on my show when I was doing radio, you know, 8 years ago on another station. And he just was never healthy enough. But mm-hmm. we talked constantly. And you know, I'm going to do his history again. He was a phenomenal television guy.
Excellent.
He did all kinds of really, really cool automotive stuff on television.
Cool.
Racing, boats, motorcycles, and everything.
Excellent. So you're on at noon? From noon, noon to 1?
Noon.
Noon to 2? What?
Noon to 1.
Okay.
And we'll see how sponsors and how things work out. I want to get my feet wet. I want to get going again.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we're going to do, I'll tell you what we're going to do tomorrow.
Okay.
And that is... We're going to do a segment on how to prevent pothole damage on your automobile.
Yeah, I know. You don't drive it.
Yes,
well, there you go.
Leave it in the garage.
Leave it in the garage.
You know, one of the biggest, one tip I'm going to give you guys.
Yep.
One of the biggest problems people have is they never check the air on their tires.
Mm-hmm.
When temperatures change drastically back and forth, you can lose anywhere from 5 to 10 pounds of air and never really see it in your tire. Now, if you're down 10 pounds of air and you hit a pothole, you're hitting it with the rim, bending the rim, breaking the, you know, the wheel, whatever, instead of bouncing through it. So
slam on the brakes when you hit
it. Checking the air in the tires is very important.
Right, Richie, don't you slam on the brakes when you're going to hit that pothole?
Man, you're giving my show. show away, but there you brought it up, so I'm going to tell you about it. Never slam on the brakes, because if you slam on the brakes when you're going into that pothole, what happens is that wheel gets stuck in that pothole for a split second. And that's where you do all your damage to the underbelly of the car, your control arms, your ball joints, your, mm-hmm. you know, on and on and on.
Yep.
So if you bounce through it, chances are you're not going to do as much damage to your suspension. You won't do any damage to your suspension. You'll blow the tire, bend the rim,
yep.
but your suspension will be saved.
All right, we got to go to a break, Richie, tomorrow at noon. And the name of the show?
Chicago History and Automotive Heaven.
All right. Thanks, Richie. We'll listen to you
Richie.
Tomorrow. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you will have a chance to win some great Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. All right. Should we go back on the Facebook Live thing here, Robbie?
Please.
Okay. So what I want to do now is, if you're just joining us, in the first hour, we took a can of carbon monoxide, sprayed it into a Ziploc bag, and let's bring this back
and
up.
Inside the Ziploc bag,
yep.
There are two Ziploc bags. In one was the low-level carbon monoxide detector, and in the other is the store-bought, code-required smoked carbon monoxide detector. And the first bag, you put a couple of shots in there, it immediately started registering 10 parts per million, shot all the way up to 47 parts per million, but the alarm went off almost immediately.
Correct.
And the store-bought one is still in a bag with, I would say, minimum of 47 to 50 parts per million. Could be as much as 100. We don't know because it's not doing anything. It must be at 70 parts per million for 4 hours. So we've got about, we'll be off the air. Ron will be driving home with his pillow full of carbon monoxide before that thing will go off.
Exactly. All right, I'm going to hand this over to Robbie to shoot that. Okay, so. Now, are we going?
Three.
Two. One. Are we live?
We are now.
Okay. So we have this one here that's been in a bag now for almost 2 hours.
Yep.
And it still has not gone off. I ended up shooting an entire can of this carbon monoxide in
yes.
there. So I've got the entire can. All I did was shoot two quick shots. I went 1,001, 1,002. And this one started registering up to 47 parts.
I'm going to correct you on that.
Okay.
Because you wanted it to happen faster.
Oh, so I gave it a third shot.
Yes, you did.
Okay, but it ended up going to 47.
Yes, it did.
Okay. Here, there's still some in there.
Ah!
See? So, it started registering 40 parts per million. I ended up putting the entire can in this other one. Before it would, and it still hasn't gone off.
Correct.
So I've got an entire can in there. And you want to shoot another one in? Let's see. Should we see how many cans of carbon monoxide you need to put in there?
Trixie, can you come open the door again?
It's not going to, it doesn't matter how much you put in there.
Here, this one.
It's the timer.
This.
What do you mean it's the timer?
Well, if it goes.
It has to be in there for 4 hours.
Why?
That's how they're programmed. So. If uh-huh. Ron was for 2 hours, you could have been exposed to 40 parts per million. And by opening the bag, you release the carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
And it's going to reset. So basically, you could feel groggy. You won't be able to, exercise much. And, tired faster. You could have headaches.
But if I could get this up over 100, I think over 100 parts, it'll go off right away, won't it?
I don't know. What's the label on the package say? I can't read it from here.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, now I've got this. I've got a third can in here now. So, all right, and it's still, look at it. It's still nothing. Still nothing. Robbie, look at this one. See, this one says zeros.
All right.
So you know you're safe.
I still say you should have dropped that one in so you can monitor what you actually have in the bag.
You want me?
Yes, that's a really good idea.
It's too late now.
No, you have another can. Open it up. Put them both in there.
You think?
Yeah, just keep putting in carbon monoxide. I'll step outside, outside across the street. I'll be across the street.
Let's see if I can do this fast.
Okay, so again, we are on Facebook. We're live right now. Mighty House Radio Show on Facebook.
There. Okay, I got it in there.
So we're testing carbon monoxide detectors.
So that's your control sample.
Yes. There we go.
So put a lot more in there, and let's see which one goes off.
Okay. Oh, no, don't even add it. Don't even add it yet. Just because you didn't let it all out. Let's see what it's at.
Yeah, it should be. Let's see where we go. I don't know. Maybe I did let it all out. Nope, there it goes.
Nope. That's the low-level detector you just heard going off.
Yeah, see, now it's starting to go off. And I dropped it in. I opened the bag, dropped it in there, and it's going off, and the other one is fine. Here, you want me?
There, I got it.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
See, it's up to 19, 21,
yep.
23. So it's going back up now. And so
okay.
That's the low-level one that I just dropped into that bag. That's in with the other bag, the other store-bought one that's been in there for a little over 2 hours.
Okay, so at 20 parts per million, that's the typical concentration in the flue gases or chimney of a properly operating furnace or water heater.
Are you okay, Robbie? Okay, now we're up to 36.
Oh, that's worse.
Yes.
At 35, remember, the fire department must wear a respirator before entering.
Yeah, that's OSHA.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Ben.
I know. He can't really get out.
See that glow that's behind his head? It's like it's just
the bright light back there.
Yeah, the bright light behind his head. He's got the beard and stuff, kind of like Jesus, you know, the way.
So, if anybody has a question about what we're doing, 847-475-1590. Call us.
And now we're up to 45 in the same bag.
We want to hear from you. Do you have a carbon monoxide detector? Do you trust it? Have you heard about these low-level ones?
Now, here's the deal. We have one to give away, and we went online. You actually, I know of two companies that sell these, the Metro Group in Chicago, and then there's also Effective Air in Glenview. They both are both certified to sell these, and if you want to pick one up, you can. Just go to mightyhouse.net, click on the team page. You'll find them right there.
Wait, it changed.
What is it now?
It says hi.
There you go. It's over.
It says hi, and the other one hasn't even gone off yet.
It's over.
Did you say hi to it?
It's over 50 parts per billion, a million in there, in that bag. And the store-bought one still hasn't gone off. That's after opening it up and dropping the other one in there and closing it again.
All right, to the person who said, "We always question what you're doing." Ha ha, ha ha.
Here's the deal.
Can't blame them there.
They have given us, we've got one to give away. So 847-475-1590. Again, 847-475-1590. Is that how you say it, Ben? Yeah, good, okay. Good. So give us a call, be the fifth caller, and we will ship one of these ultra low level carbon monoxide detectors to you. 847-475-1590. Fifth caller wins one over a $100 value that we're going to give away. Protect your family, protect your yourself, and no, we got to get rid of this. It's still registering high.
Okay, so I have a question.
Leave it in there. You just got to take the bag outside. Or
you mentioned
outside
those
the studio.
Two places, Effective Air and
the Metro Group.
The Metro Group. So are they selling these particular ones?
The ultra lows, yes. They have, even if you just get the low-level ones, the low-level ones will do the same reading, but the beeping and stuff, they're not ultra low like these are. So if you're
interested in the exact one, you can go to coexperts.com. you click on the safety info tab and then how to place an order. You do need to be a licensed HVAC contractor, and I know George, he's going to teach you about what you need to do in order to be able to purchase these. So he doesn't even have pricing or like an online store for these. You have to go through your contractors.
But my question was, they used to have the ones that they had to come in and install them.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have to come in and install these if you buy them from Metro Group?
You would have to call John or call Jim, both those guys. And they'll probably come out. What they're going to do is bring it out, show you how it works. They're going to test your house ahead of time and make sure you're good.
They're selling the low level, not the ultra low level.
They probably sell the ultra also.
And what's the difference between a monitor and a detector? Which do you
monitors
want?
Like that great commercial. Uh-huh. I just monitor, I don't fix anything.
But why would you want one to just monitor and not detect, or why would you want one to detect and not monitor?
Well, you could probably have a detector. The monitor is going to tell you exactly what the readout is.
So it's also detecting.
Yeah, it has to detect in order to monitor.
So why would you want without a monitor then?
Here you
code.
Go. This one is just a detector. This one's a monitor telling us that it's high, over 50 parts per million in this bag, and it's beeping and telling us that there's something wrong. And the other one's just gleefully just flashing its little green light every once in a while. That's all.
Giving you that warm sense of security.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there you go. All right. I just wanted to put that out there. I wanted to do this test. We had George on, about 4 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And he sent us out these kits. So we were gonna give those away. And I just wanted to let everybody know this carbon monoxide thing is a really big issue. You see them on the news. Every winter, someone runs a heater in the house or their flue pipe gets knocked off. The other thing that's happening is if you have a hybrid car and you park inside the garage and the garage is attached to the house, you forget to turn the car off, once the battery runs down, it'll start automatically putting carbon monoxide into the garage that leaks into the house. And then, you know, the owners of the house end up dying from the poisoning. So if you have an attached garage and you have an all-electric house, you still need one of these. If you have an all-electric...
That's what I have.
If you have an all-electric house and a detached garage or no garage at all, then you're okay. You don't need one of these. Just saying.
Thank you.
You still have to put them in the monitors by code.
Yes. Well, I don't know. Do you have to do that with an all-electric home and no attached garage?
I don't believe that there is a exemption.
Oh, really? So no matter what,
I'd have to reread the code to clarify.
See, I thought there was.
But you know I'll do that.
Yeah. And then you'll report back next week, right?
Yes, I'll investigate.
Okay, because I thought as long as it was a all-electric home, detached garage, you were not...
Well, that would make sense.
You were not required to have one. So,
okay.
But for $100, I think it's worth it to save your family's life and possibly your own for a couple hundred dollars. And it happens all the time, so go out and get one. COExperts.com. All right, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to...
Mighty House. This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
This is your talk.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh?
Only on 1590 WCGO, Evanston, Chicago.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some great Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, You can talk to Trixie because she has her own little show going on in there. And so hopefully, I know that we gave away that carbon monoxide detector in the last segment there. So we're all good. We've got one last segment. Did you have an email or something you wanted to cover?
I will get one.
Oh, I thought you had one already. You were like all ready to go, but let's talk about this.
Or thing. So you thought.
Yeah, so I thought.
Yes.
Rich, do you think storing boxes in your attic is going to help you save on heating bills?
You know, I read that article, and that was actually kind of interesting.
Uh-huh.
In theory, it would.
You would think it would, yes. Because you have boxes of air.
And or even if they're full of stuff, it's a heat sink. Once they're heated up, it will take them longer to cool down.
Right.
But overall, no. It still goes to air leakage.
I think, yeah, it does have to do with air leakage. And then I think you would have to store all your boxes tightly together and consistently. You couldn't have them just haphazardly tossed into the attic because that doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything at all. So for those people that think that they're putting stuff in their attic and insulating their house a little bit more, maybe not.
Well, the best part is, you know, under the new homes, you do all the blown-in cellulose, and you go throw some plywood up there on top of it so that you can store stuff in your attic, and you compress the insulation, thus reducing the R value and actually doing the complete opposite. You make it worse.
Right. Yeah. It conducts heat even better.
Yeah. So.
And then you put boxes on it to insulate it. So there, see, now we're back to being okay, right?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
No, best thing is air seal and then insulate and don't go in your attic.
No mo. And how many, if you have a truss roof, you know, you go in and you see all these, you know, 2x4, 2x6.
The web cords.
Framing members going back and forth in your attic. That's a truss system. Can you really be storing things up there anyway?
Typically not, unless the trusses were designed for that load.
To carry that load. So in most cases, though, they're not really designed to do that. And especially if you have a production home, it was production built, you know, where every third house is the same in the neighborhood. Most likely, those were not designed to have stuff put in the attic.
Right.
Right.
I'm ready.
So if you've got junk in the attic.
Trunk.
Oh, junk? No. No, you don't have trunks in the attic?
No, junk in the trunk.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. then you just call Robbie and have her haul it off.
Yes.
Just get rid of it. Right?
That's what I do for fun.
Uh-huh. Just get Bagster in the driveway.
Make a phone call and get it. Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
Ben.
Here's your mail today.
Hi, Mighty House. I am ready to tackle the problem of mold on my bathroom ceiling. I was wondering if I had to scrub it off first, then paint over it. Also, why are you giggling?
Because I know a lot of people that just start rolling paint.
Wonder if I have to scrub it off first, then paint over it. Also, is there any paint that is better for the bathroom environment with a shower?
Yes, there is. How's that? Good answer?
Too short.
Oh, so here's the thing. And this is what I did on the last one because I keep these things in the truck. What are those? The white scrubby things, the Mr. Clean.
Magic Eraser. I love Magic Erasers.
Wash that white. Take that. I need that on a Swiffer stick. That's what I need.
Yes, I agree.
And then you could just go back and forth on the ceiling, clean up the ceilings, boom, done. You may not even need to paint.
However, what I know from listening to Mighty House these some odd 20 years is you're only cleaning the mold poo. You're not killing the mold.
Correct. Correct. So then.
Oh, Rich. Ooh. You know what? I'm a weirdo.
No, we started before you got here with poo because apparently Loki was out, which is what delayed you.
Yeah, whatever. Yes, he was. And I even sent Ron a picture. I had two pictures, one of him.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
Well, you didn't tell me that, which I don't care. That's too much information.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So Mold needs three things. It needs food.
Yeah.
It needs humidity. And what else does it need? Rich.
Agua. Water.
Water?
Well, isn't humidity water?
Oh, yeah.
So then it needs food and water.
Food, water, yeah.
Okay.
And then it'll start to grow. So the thing to do, clean it off first. And if you use a Mr. Magic eraser, you may not even need to repaint. It may be fine if it's not too bad. If it's really bad, then you would want to prime that with a Benz or something like that, a stain blocker, and then go ahead and put probably a semi-gloss latex paint over top of it.
But you said you could just clean it and leave it, but you can't. Because
Really bad, if it's really stained, then you won't be able to get it all out.
Well, you'd be better off to clean it and not have to paint and go address the moisture issue. Change the bath fan, make sure it's ducted outside properly, so on.
Right, and open a window, something to stop the humidity from gathering on the ceiling. You need to get it out of there. Even though once you get done and you repaint, it's going to come back. Because
well, that was the thing. Years ago, the code was either you had a fan or a window.
Right.
So a lot of them opted for the window builders, and that didn't work out well because very rarely you're going to stand in the shower and open the window.
Yeah, especially when
it's
10
degrees. Especially if it's 20.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that was the problem. They realized that was a mistake. They should have never wrote the code that way. So now you have to have mechanical ventilation in every bathroom, and that will definitely help.
Right.
Now, the other thing is that fan should run 15 minutes after you're done in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
So you can buy switches with little timers, and that's always a highly recommended thing to do.
Right, exactly. And the other thing we've noticed is we've been doubling it. A standard 5x8 bathroom used to throw in a 50-80 CFM fan. We're throwing in the 110s and the 180s now because they move more air, and it gets rid of that air a little bit faster. So that's been another big thing we're doing that in the past couple of years. Let's go to the phones real quick. And is that Andrea?
Yes,
Andrea.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Andrea.
You're on Mighty House.
Well, I thought I was off topic until I started hearing you guys talk. I actually had a question about showers.
Okay.
So in my house, they put in one of those plastic, wraparound bathtub shower things.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
A few questions about it. One, I hate it, but that's not really a question.
I would. I agree. I haven't even seen yours, and I already agree with you. Go ahead.
Okay. Are you supposed to caulk the edges of those?
Do you have like a four-piece thing where you set the tub in there and then the walls go up over top of it?
Yes.
Okay. And some of them are designed to drain and they don't need caulk. Others, though, you have to look at design. They should actually be caulked and sealed into place.
Okay. They said that it didn't need to be caulked.
Okay.
But whenever I am cleaning the shower, there's always like moldy slime coming out from all of the edges of it. And I know I've heard you guys kind of talk about them in the past. So I'm just wondering, because it's not caulked, I guess I was just wanted to make sure that I'm not getting mold behind the walls. Or should I caulk it anyways?
More than likely, the water is getting behind the panels at the seams, the vertical seams. The one at the bottom is where it's draining out. So you probably do have mold behind those panels because a lot of times the glue they use is organic. So the glue is actually a food source for the mold too. They're just not very good products. I mean, if it is what it is, you got to deal with it for now. If you own the house, save your money and try and get it all ripped out and put a nice tub and some tile or something.
And I would say in the meantime, you may want to go ahead, scrub it down really good. And those inside corners, just caulk the inside corners, leave the bottom uncaulked so that any water that does get behind there has a way to get out. And the other thing is you might just have water hitting that ledge and bouncing up and getting underneath there a little bit. And it's probably okay. So I would say caulk your inside corners, make sure that that's keeping the water out, and then leave the bottom go and just you're going to have to scrub it. But those tub liners like that, especially if it's one that goes over the existing tub, those things are okay if you don't use your tub all the time. If you use it, if it's an everyday thing, I wouldn't put one in. I just wouldn't do it. So they look great.
So you're saying I should shower less.
Yes, exactly. Shower less, and smell
save water.
And smell more. Save water. You'll be good.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Right. Thanks for the call.
All right. Bye.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Shower with friends. It saves water.
Oh, there you go. I keep telling the boss that, but she doesn't seem to care.
Okay.
Too much information?
Always.
Last week you were talking about pictures of you and the boss.
Huh? No. Shh. No. We weren't talking about that. No.
Yep.
Yes, you were.
No.
Nope. Yeah. Nope.
On our last vacation, you mean? Is that
so?
You did go to like Barbados or something, didn't you?
No. No. What's that, Rich?
No, nothing. I was just gonna something we didn't cover last week with the blue skin.
Okay. Well, we're gonna take a quick break, and we got Mr. Novak coming in next. Maybe we can hold that for next week.
Oh, it's nothing anyway.
Okay. All right. We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
All right, we're back. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. And we're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. And with that, you got him going?
Yeah, we...
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. I'm really.
Whoa, he's up there.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you might want to crank that down.
Look at that. I don't know if you were paying attention. We inside that bag.
Yeah. The carbon monoxide alarm.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the one you buy at the store.
Right.
This is the ultra, it's still reading high.
You've got it going in here?
Yes.
Thank you. He keeps shooting off the can of stuff in here. Yes. Thank you.
The can of what? What are you?
Carbon monoxide. He has cans.
I put them in there.
He has cans of carbon monoxide he's putting off in here.
I'm spraying them in.
I'm feeling faint. I
can't. Hello.
Everything's
I
getting
know.
Dark.
I know.
But
they're
still.
What the
they're
heck?
They're still in here, and it's reading high inside the bag, and the other one's just blinking its little green light saying how happy it is.
So this is the superior model.
Yes.
The little round one.
Right.
That means, now, which one is, who makes that?
That's CO Experts.
Okay. And the other one was just
store-bought.
Generic.
Yeah, it's just a store-bought one.
Yes.
So this is the lesson you've been teaching all day today.
Yes.
While we're fainting.
Yes, while you're fainting.
Yes.
I would walk outside. I would open a window in here if there were any windows, but there are no windows
thank
here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey.
Wow.
You know, you're looking awful dapper today, sir.
That's because... I just came back. I can't believe I've already come back from the Wild Things conference down at the UIC Forum.
Wild Things.
Yeah, it's going all day, and it's they've got like 1,600 people there. There was like a 300 person waiting list to get in there. We've been talking about this for several weeks, and it's about habitat in the area and species and restoration, and I mean anything you can possibly imagine having to do with nature in the Chicago area, and it's crazy and it's really cool. So Peggy and I have a table down there, and as soon as we get out of here, we're going right back down to the forum and nice. talk to folks. Yeah, it's and it goes till 5:30 today. I would love to tell people, hey, come on down, except they're sold out. They got a 300 person waiting list to get
Holy
in there.
Holy smokes.
It's crazy.
That's beautiful.
It is. It's a good thing. It's a great day. I saw your motorcycle out there.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is a great day for motorcycles.
Yeah.
Not for living plants and things like that.
Okay. So I want to bring this up to you real quick, too.
Yeah.
So this week, mail comes in. It's from our landscaper that does...
Email. We get email.
No.
They get your email. Thanks, Mike Novak.
Snail mail.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, snail mail. Okay.
comes in. It's the invoicing and stuff for the upcoming year, the contract to sign with the landscapers to take care of our commercial property, you know, where, okay. Where our business is at.
Sure.
They want to start a spring cleanup a month early because of what's going on right now.
Yeah.
So then I'm thinking, okay, so they want to start early. They want to start cutting and digging and
mm-hmm. uncovering.
Yeah.
All right, here's the deal.
So it's too early for that, though, isn't it?
That's the point I was going to make. Okay, so they go out and they prune your stuff. Now, looking at the forecast for the next few weeks, and I'm sure Rick DeMaio, our meteorologist, will confirm this when he comes in today, there doesn't seem to be much chance of freezing going on, but it will. I mean, we're still in February, okay?
Yes.
And if they prune your plants and then it freezes, you've just damaged your plants. So the problem with landscapers is they want to do it on their schedule, not nature's
yep.
schedule. And a lot of landscapers do. You know, contractors who do things wrong. Rich, you guys deal with this all the time. The same thing happens with landscapers. They don't necessarily know what they're doing, and they're doing it because
right.
they can fit it into their schedule. Wow,
well,
let's go and do that.
They haven't done any snow removal.
Well, yeah,
this
they
year.
Have to eat in the winter also.
Yeah,
there's
no snow removal.
And there's no snow removal, and that's what they count on at this time of year. So
mm-hmm.
I kind of understand that impulse, but you could do damage to your plants. And the other thing that's happening, you know, what is it going to be 65 today or something?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these trees are starting to bud. And if they're fruit trees and they bud, and then we get that freeze, bye-bye crop.
Well, didn't you that happen a few years ago?
It did. The apple crop got really
devastated.
Yeah.
And if they uncover plants too soon, if they take off that coating of mulch and leaves and everything that's been there, that's going to cause damage too.
Well, and I just thought,
yeah.
I just thought,
there, again,
you know,
it.
If folks are out there and they're uncovering, you know, they're raking the leaves and saying, oh, I'm going to clean up my garden. Don't do that.
Too early.
Leave it alone. Don't get, you know, what you're doing right now is you're compacting the soil. It's melted a little bit. You know, there's no more frost and frozen soil. I mean, I know because I'm looking at my yard and watching the squirrels dig mm-hmm. and go, oh, wow, they can really get into that right now. Well, you make it worse. When you take those boots and you're trampling all over that, you compact your soil and it really makes it hard for the plants to grow.
Right, and they're running lawnmowers and all the equipment over your yard.
It's just nuts. It's not. I mean, tell these people, it's February.
Yeah. Well, but like I said, he wants to start a month early.
Ugh. Well, I'd say put me on the back end of the list
uh-huh.
and get back to me in a month, and we'll do it on the regular schedule. Find
yeah.
some other sucker who's going to let you do that.
Start early.
And that's what I would tell people who are listening, and they got landscapers who are saying, we want to come a month early. I'm
yep.
saying, no, resist.
Exactly.
Resist.
Hold off.
Yeah.
Resist.
I know. Don't do it.
Yeah. I know.
It's like, you know, I'm trying to even think of what the analogous home landscaping practice might be that's really stupid that people do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but...
Yeah, but that's...
But that's what we're talking about here.
It's painting in the winter. Same principle.
Okay, there you go. They want to come out and paint...
It's 20 degrees out and they're painting outside.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
You go drive by and it's a new construction, you're like, okay, that'll be coming off next spring.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yep. So this is all related to what we're talking about on the show today, because, you know, 65 degrees in February
mm-hmm.
and crazy rains in California. I'm hoping my friend Annie Haven is listening. But we've got Alderman John Arena in studio with us today to
excellent.
Talk about the Chicago Finance Committee divesting from fossil fuels in the city of Chicago. And Melissa Bryce from Chicago 350 is with us, too. Okay.
Excellent. So, I appreciate it, Mike.
Nice.
All right.
Thanks for stopping in.
My pleasure.
I'll be talking to my landscaper.
Yes. Let me know. Let me know how that goes.
Yeah, I'll let you know next week how it goes.
Okay.
Excellent. All right. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. The conversation continues all week long on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you're looking for our show sponsors, just go to MightyHouse.net. Click on the Mighty House team page. You find a lot of great companies right there. Next week, we're going to have the boys back on from Mr. Floor. They'll be in studio.
The boys are back in town.
That's
the
right.
The boys are back in town.
And we'll have another Mighty House Tip of the Week, Clutter Clarity. And in between that, we'll be taking your phone calls. Thanks to Mike Smith from Grand Appliance and TV. Just go to grandappliance.com for more information. And also George from CO Experts and the ultra-low level carbon detectors. We appreciate them for sending us the stuff out to do a quick test and give one away today. So there was one lucky winner that won one of those. So, and of course, thanks to everybody that called in today. For Rich Cowgill and Robbie Earhart, I'm Ron Cowgill. Keep it square and level.
Until next Saturday.
I can't breathe.
I know.
Carbon monoxide.
Feel a little lightheaded.
And high is over 50 parts per million. It says exit. Do not come back.
If you have any questions during the week, you can always post them on Facebook and Twitter. Join us next Saturday for more home infotainment. Mighty House is a Square and Level Media production.
Mighty House.